Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
And to do so, we go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline covering the NBA for Bleacher Report. A good friend of the show, Greg Swartz, joins us now. Greg, what's going on?
Hey, thanks for having me on tonight.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, I was hoping that when we were getting to talk around this time that we were going to be able to talk more Cavs basketball, Eastern Conference Finals on the way, and I'll be excited, but clearly the Cavs fell short. If we had to pinpoint it to one major reason, the overarching theme, where do we pin that for the Cavs?
Yeah, I actually made a list, Bleacher Report this week, for kind of the top five reasons why I think the postseason fell apart. And there's a lot of things you can point to. Toughness, you can point to the disparity in three-point shooting between the two teams, something that was a major strength of the Cavs, not just in the regular season, but in the first round when they shot 44% from three against the Miami Heat. But at the end of the day, we didn't have the same team that we had when we saw him win 64 games. Like, if anyone watched Darius Garland during the regular season average 20-7 and make the All-Star team, that was not the same Darius Garland we saw. I mean, he was struggling to get past TJ McConnell and get any sort of penetration to the rim. And obviously DeAndre Hunter, if you look at his numbers when he came back from the wrist injury, 8 points a game, shot about 30%. And Evan Mobley too, even though the raw numbers look good, the Cavs were minus 35 in his minutes. That was the worst mark of any Cav, along with Dean Wade. So just those three guys just clearly were not themselves. Obviously Ty Jerome was healthy, but looked injured with the way he played. I was just disappointed because this wasn't the team we saw all year. This wasn't, you know, Darius Garland at his prime. This wasn't DeAndre Hunter at his prime. This wasn't even Evan Mobley at his prime. So at the end of the day, I think you can point to a lot of things, but we didn't have our full healthy roster, and Indiana did, and I think that made the biggest difference.
So if we go to injuries, one of the overarching things, which I don't think is crazy, look at this team, and three of the top five players went through major injury. Even Donovan, I think, is fair to put into that. So you could say four out of the top five guys, four out of the top six, however you want to slice it. But ultimately, is relying on injuries a fair way in almost a, I don't want to call it a cop-out, but I think you're getting what am I alluding to basically keep this team together moving forward, saying it's just going to be better next year?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can bring the same roster back, because you could point to injuries as one of the main reasons, as I just did, but I think it's painfully obvious this team isn't tough enough. And the NBA regular season is completely different from the playoffs. And I think if you would have looked at the game 25 years ago, it would have been a difference, but it wasn't a huge difference. And I think the last, especially 10 years that I've watched the league, it's become painfully obvious how different regular season basketball is to playoff basketball in terms of physicality. You've seen a lot of the scores and the pace just fall off the map in terms of just how the pace slows down compared to the regular season. The amount of three-pointers, just everything kind of reverts back to old-school basketball. And a lot of that is toughness. And a lot of that is, you know, who are the guys that are going to step up when the lights are the brightest? And right now, the Cavs don't have enough of those guys. There's a lot of guys that are good players, that are nice guys, and that's great for team chemistry. But I think the Cavs need more guys with an edge. They need that Josh Hart type, you know, that you see him just bleeding on the court for the New York Knicks the other night, and he's right back in the game, and he's grabbing every rebound, and he's 6'4". Like, you just need guys with that kind of heart and that toughness. So I think there definitely needs to be some changes to the roster this summer.
Greg, is that something that's fixable with guys that are already there, or is that something that is just sort of universally accepted, is that it's instinctual? It's something that you're basically born with or taught at a very young age, and if you don't have it at this point, you're never going to have it.
Yeah, I think for the most part, that's true. I think guys that are tough in college and come into the league tough are the ones that you can point to and say, yeah, that's the guys that are tough now, the guys that, you know, haven't been that way. It's not like, you know, they can be 10 years in the career and just flip the switch and say, hey, I'm going to go set a really hard screen right now. I'm going to get in this guy's face and talk a little trash. And I don't think, if it's not authentic, I don't think the other team's going to respect it. You know what I mean? Like, everybody knows that, you know, guys like Dylan Brooks, he's a tough player. Can he cross the line at times? Absolutely. But I don't want to go up against him every night. Steven Adams, I keep pointing to the Rockets because I think they're one of the toughest teams in the league, even though they're young. I'm not messing with Steven Adams. Like, I know that's not going to go over well if I do that. And I think if you look at the Cavs, and I've heard other people say this, nobody's scared of them. And I think there has to be a fear factor. You know, when the Cavs were going to the finals every year and playing the Warriors, oh my gosh, I mean, you were terrified because you're like, not only are they, you know, extremely talented and they can hit all these shots, but they've got, you know, Draymond and all these tough guys off their bench that you kind of had a real fear of. And I think right now, if you look at the Cavs, you know, obviously teams are going to fear Donovan with his scoring ability, but I don't think anyone's afraid of Jared Allen. I don't think anybody's afraid of Evan Mobley. I don't think anybody's afraid of Darius Garland. They respect him as players, but I don't think there's that fear factor there that the Cavs should hopefully have if they hope to be a title contender.
Greg Swartz of Bleacher Report with us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hey, so if the Cavs are going to go through and they're going to make a move, potentially split up the core four, in your eyes, what guys out of that group are available and on the table this offseason?
Yeah, I think number one, Donovan Mitchell and Evan Mobley, you take them out of every discussion. You take them out of every phone call. Those are two guys. Obviously, Donovan, it's tough to find not only stars, but stars who shine the brightest in the playoffs. And Donovan's a top seven scorer in terms of points per game all time in postseason history. And it's insane that he's never made it out of the second round, because that's certainly not his fault. And we saw some of the 40-point performances he's had in this series. We've seen him in the bubble put up 50 points in multiple games in a series. Like, he's built for that stage. He loves that stage. So if I know I have Donovan and I've got him in the prime of his career and I've got him for, you know, multiple seasons under contract, which he's making $46 million next year, which is a lot of money. But when you look around the league and you see superstars all of a sudden making $50, $60 million, his salary is going to look really good. So you got to keep Donovan. You got to keep Evan. I know his salary jumped up once he won Defensive Player of the Year. It's still going to be a really good number moving forward. And everybody like that, I'm willing to have a conversation with. I don't want to trade Darius because we saw how good a healthy Darius Garland is this year. Jared Allen is one of my favorite players of all time. I just love his demeanor. I love that he doesn't have to have a role. But three straight postseasons where he's let you down. And I really like Jarrett, but I think that's a conversation you have to have. And then you go down the line, guys like Max, Isaac, DeAndre Hunter, you know, which one of those guys kind of becomes, well, we can't afford to keep everybody. Because as it stands right now, the Cavaliers are $11.2 million over the second apron. So they're already restricted on what trades they can make. You're going to have to move an Isaac Okoro and a secondary piece like a Dean Wade or a Craig Porter Jr. just to get out of that second apron to open up more trade possibilities for you. That's even before you fill out your roster. So things are going to get very complicated because this roster is getting expensive. So Kobe Altman is definitely going to have his work cut out for him this summer.
Greg, how realistic is it that the Cavs are able to get a deal done that doesn't include one of those guys while also getting under the second apron and being able to, you know, get somebody to essentially take on the contract of Isaac Okoro, which I think at least a lot of people in Cleveland look around right now and say that's not a great contract that a lot of teams probably want to take on. And only there really being a couple of guys that you can move outside that core four that really help you get under it.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's not a lot of teams out there with cap space. So if you're like, well, we just need to dump salary, well, you're kind of limited. The good news is you can trade players into a team's mid-level exception now, which you could not do before. So that's going to be like a $14 million kind of option for teams and a team that would be willing to take on Isaac Okoro. He's owed $11 million next year. You could do that. His contract's not great, but it's not terrible. It's 2 years, $22 million. It's far less than, like I said, what the mid-level exception is going to be. So I could see a team maybe like the Brooklyn Nets that's rebuilding that has a massive amount of cap space. You know, if they can't sign a big free agent this summer, they might say, yeah, we'll take on Isaac. And if you want a salary, dump him here. And Isaac's kind of the first guy I would point to and say, this guy's not a key member of the rotation anymore. We like him, but, you know, with all these guys on max deals, we can't afford to keep him. Because obviously I think you want to keep DeAndre Hunter because you just traded for him, but he's making $23 million. Max Strus, in my eyes, is one of the toughest guys on the team. He's one of the guys that's not afraid of the moment. I know he had a bad final game of the series, but he was really good before then. And he was one of the guys that he's not afraid to get in someone's face and talk a little trash and do the dirty work. So I got to keep Max too. So it's just going to be tough going down the line, especially with so few teams that have cap space that can take on players and take on extra money from teams that are looking to get back under the apron levels.
Again, Greg Swartz with us here on the hotline. So if you're looking to move on then from either Jared Allen or Darius Garland, as those are the two guys that obviously are part of the core four that you mentioned would be on the table, what is the type of archetype of player that you're looking to get back that from moving either of those guys actually helps improve the roster in its current iteration?
Yeah, I think the first thing I would look at is, well, number one, I definitely want to keep Darius. Like, I'm not calling other teams and saying, hey, what do you give me for Darius Garland? Like, make your offer. No, I'm not going to do that. But if teams are calling, you know, it's Kobe's job to take those calls and listen. But if everybody says, hey, what do you want for Donovan or Evan? Yeah, I'm going to hang up very quickly on those. I think kind of the thing that stands out the most is, I think Jarrett moving on kind of transforms this team in not a bad way either, because I think Evan, he's gotten stronger. I would not put him at center full time coming in the league, but he's definitely added some strength, some muscle to his frame. I would move him to center probably to a full-time basis. I'd look for a guy in free agency, maybe like a Brook Lopez that I could hopefully get on the cheap, a guy that why would he go back to Milwaukee? He's probably looking for, you know, maybe a little less money and a little bit better chance to win a championship. So if I could get a guy like Brook Lopez cheap in free agency, I can move on from Jared Allen. Whether Brook Lopez starts or not, that gives you a guy, a veteran in that mold that, you know, Evan doesn't have to play center 36 minutes a night for 82 games, which I think would be a mistake. But if you move Evan to center, you can put DeAndre Hunter as your starting four. I don't think you have any problems there. Strus at your three, Darius and Donovan in your backcourt. I think it'd be a really good starting five. You'd be a little bit faster, a little bit more versatile. Your rebounding would take a little bit of a hit, but I'd like to see Evan Mobley in a full-time center role. I think he would thrive. And then off the bench, maybe add in just another wing, another ball handler if you can't bring back Ty Jerome, and just give yourself a little bit more versatility in that sense.
So if we go through and look at this team, Greg, I think another thing that people point out are some of the comments made by Kenny Atkinson. Especially I know after game two, and I know that similar comments were made throughout the series where not only did you get out physical, but also they kind of wore you down, the Pacers did, throughout the course of the game. And this team got tired late into games. And we talked all season long about Kenny Atkinson managing the minutes, being able to play guys less. What ultimately is sort of that happy middle ground of getting these guys to somehow be available at the end of games and not be, you know, running out of gas, but then also managing injuries and finding that, you know, happy middle?
Yeah, I think going against the Pacers, I mean, that was a bad matchup for any team, but especially when you're playing with, you know, guys who miss games, guys who come back and can't play their normal minutes because they're hurt, because Pacers can legitimately go 10 players deep, and there's not many NBA teams that could do that. Like, if you look at the numbers, when were the Cavs beat the most? It's in the second and fourth quarter. Like, coming off a halftime in the third, okay, they had a rest, they were good. To start the game, they were good. In the second quarter, Cavs had a net rating of -11.5. In the fourth quarter was -6.5. Like, those were their problems, and you could tell, like, they were physically wearing down. So obviously depth is going to be it's going to be tough, because you're probably going to have to get rid of some of your guys to get under that second apron. And I think that's where you need guys like a Jalen Tyson, who you took in the first round next year. I think he's going to be a rotation player for you, kind of a versatile. I kind of compare him to Caris LeVert, because he can just kind of do a lot of different things. Imani Bates is a guy I think they'll look at and say, well, is he ready for a rotation role? Luke Travers, who you brought over from Australia last year, played pretty well. Again, can do a lot of different things for you. Is he going to be a star? No, but he could be a potential rotation player for you. And then a guy like Craig Porter Jr., he's got a non-guaranteed deal, but it's only $2 million. And it's tough to find quality players in the NBA at that price. So I think, number one, you tap into what you have and say, all right, which one of these guys are ready to step up? Because we do have to try to keep our depth so we can keep our star numbers low. Our star minutes low during the regular season, because obviously fatigue and depth became a real issue in the playoffs, especially once the injuries started piling up.
Craig, is it fair that, you know, we draw the comparisons of the Pacers, we look how deep that they went in the playoffs, how well they were able to manage it, that even the Cavs being the better regular season team can look at the Pacers sort of as a model to reshape the roster?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of things I'd take away from Indiana. Depth, obviously, we talked about that. They're the only team, I don't know how many decades we've seen that all five starters are averaging over 14 points per game. It's kind of remarkable. Like, Pascal Siakam is their leading postseason scorer at 17. Like, that's not something you see very often, but obviously it's been working for them. And then I'd love to steal some of their players, too. If you could get an Aaron Nesmith and plug him into the Cavs starting lineup, a guy that plays defense extremely well, can shoot, and he's tough. Like, that's the kind of toughness that we need. And those players are not easy to find, guys that can play both ways and are tough. So if I'm looking at the Pacers, yeah, I admire their depth. Obviously, they're coached very well, but I also admire their toughness, because there's a couple of guys on that roster, they would check into a game and you're like, oh, crap. Like, I really don't want to see this guy right now. He's going to present some problems for us. So Cavs are going to have to be really creative with their offseason, just because of their financial limitations. And hopefully they can bring up some of their young guys that they've had on two-way contracts, and they can contribute next year as well.
Again, Greg Swartz, Bleacher Report, with us on the hotline. Craig, is it realistic to think that there's a world that we live in where it's possible? Kobe Altman carries almost a sense of pride going into this offseason, that he built the core four from the ground up, and with so many people ruling it out just one offseason ago, and then seeing the way it transformed in the regular season this year with Kenny Atkinson, that he would, you know, essentially carry a pride and not want to move on from any of those guys?
Probably. Kobe's going to do his end of the season availability on Monday. So we're going to have media's going to have a chance to talk to him then. He's going to give his final thoughts on the season. He's going to get asked about that. He's going to get asked about the core four. And he's probably going to say that he's really proud of him and he doesn't want to trade him, which is the right thing to say. You're not going to stand up there and say, yeah, we're definitely breaking this core up, we're not good enough. He's not going to say that. And he should be proud of this team. He should be proud of his coaching hire. He did the right thing by firing J.B. Bickerstaff, bringing in Kenny Atkinson. It was obviously the right choice. He did the right thing by taking the home run swing to get Donovan Mitchell. That was justified when Donovan re-signed last offseason. That trade has been a win no matter what. Obviously drafting Darius Garland, drafting Evan Mobley. Yeah, like, and then the smart trade to get Jared Allen, which only cost you a late first-round pick. Like, all of those were great moves. But at the end of the day, you can't look at this roster and say, this is perfect, I'm running this roster back 100%, not making any changes. I think that would be foolish. And obviously injuries had a lot to do with it, but like I said, this team's not tough enough mentally or physically. Depth's going to become an issue, and finances are going to become an issue. So I think Kobe's got a lot to be proud of, but at the end of the day, he's got to realize that the job's not finished. This team's still not good enough.
Greg, real quick, I'll get you out of here with this one. As we look at Darius Garland, I know you expressed it. It's not somebody you'd be actively trying to trade. Operating under the second apron, I've seen a few guys thrown out. Do any of them move the needle for you? I've heard Tyler Hero, Franz Wagner, and Drew Holiday.
Drew, no, because of age. He's going to be 35 next month, so not interested there. Tyler Hero, I think... I don't think he'd want to come to Cleveland. I think he's pretty happy in Miami, and that would be kind of funny if he got traded for Darius after their little spat. But again, he's not the playmaker that Darius is. I'd rather have Darius. And the third one you said was who?
Franz Wagner.
Franz Wagner. Yeah, so Wagner, if we're trying to save money, we're not trading for Franz Wagner because he's starting a max extension himself coming off of this. So he's a good player. Probably not the most popular player in Cleveland after their series against the Orlando Magic last year. But he's a guy that, again, he's on a rookie max extension. So we'd just be trading one guy on a max deal for another one. So in the long run, that's not going to save you money there. So I think the Cavs, if they're going to trade Donovan Mitchell, if they're going to trade Darius Garland, I think they got to look for either a player that is on an expiring deal or as a contract that depreciates in value, because just swapping max for max is not going to save this team money in the long run.
Greg, good stuff as always. I appreciate you hopping on, and I look forward to talking to you more throughout this Cavs offseason as we try to navigate the complicated road that it's going to be.
All right, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Greg Swartz, Bleacher Report, with us there.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.